Our committee, there were four of us on the committee. It was me, Greg Cobb, who else? June Martin and Matthew Whiteacre. We met multiple times and visited with lots of different folks to learn about four-year graduation rates. What I learned as a faculty member is that I don't know very much, and there's a lot to know. In fact, the more we learned, probably the more confused we got about what's important and how to calculate, and there's tons and tons of information on our Texas A&M website on accountability.tmu.edu. In fact, I put the link in the report if you want to go scope it out. There's lots and lots of ways that you can look at your college and get down into the data. But what we found that is important is that Texas A&M is ranked according to this stuff. And according to our provost, it's not a matter of if we care or not. It's that we need to get on board and that they want faculty to be creative in how we solve problems in getting students to an on-time degree quicker. It's important to the state of Texas. It's important to our legislators. Students are graduating. It's taking them longer, and they're graduating with more debt. So how do we get kids more quickly through the degree? As many of you know, the biggest thing we did to increase time to degree was drop the number of credit hours required for BS degree down to 120. And then we also did flat rate tuition, so students pay for 15 hours, and that encourages them to take more hours. So those things did increase graduation rates, which is good, but we're not where we need to be, according to our peer institutions. Right now we're sitting at about 56%, and that's first-time, full-time freshmen. Looking at them 4 years later, are they graduating? So that's not great. Our goal would be to get into the low 60% would be good. Most of our students are graduating in 6 years. I think we have like an 86% graduation rate if we look at it 6 years later, which is good, but you know, that would be true for most institutions. One thing we did learn is that in the state of Texas, we're number two, so that's not bad, but we're both not doing very well when you look at our peers. So our recommendation was that, first of all, faculty need to be aware that this is an issue that we need to be interested in because it's important to our university. And then we need to be advocates for finding creative solutions for our particular entities. And so it's going to look different in different colleges, even in different departments, as far as how we get students to where they need to be. And so as a, you know, one of the things we talked to the provost about, I advise a lot of undergraduates, and when they come from different degree programs, we have choices on whether or not to accept credits for core curriculum. Maybe it meets core, but we have a specific course required. And her response was, we would never want to degrade the degree by just blatant substituting a bunch of stuff. But if it makes sense to do things, then we need to have the freedom to be able to do that in order to get the student where they need to be as quickly as possible. So at the end of the day, do we have graduates who are creative problem-solving thinkers? Because as we all know, when we went through our bachelor's degrees, much of the knowledge that we learned then is obsolete today. So are we teaching them to be lifelong learners? And that should be the point of the degree. So how do we engage faculty in that? That was really a lot of our discussion, and some of it can happen at this level, but I believe our committee thinks that really should happen more at the college and departmental level.
Jamala Cavani from the College of Engineering. I want to ask you a question, very quick question. Do you have a stratification of all the students based on colleges? And how long is it taking for each college?
Yes, that's on accountability.tmu.edu. You can look at each college.
And each college.
Yes.
Okay.
And we thought there would be huge differences between colleges, and there are some differences, but as a whole, Texas A&M, it takes our students longer than 4 years to get done. I don't really think that's a surprise. One of our suggestions and recommendations was that we do a study to identify what are the barriers to getting students to graduate on time. I mean, anecdotally, we all have those stories. They're working a lot more. They're assuming more responsibility. Some would say, oh, they're just partying longer, and that's probably true for some, but we have a lot of students who are working 30 and 40 hours a week while trying to do a full-time load, and it just takes them a while to get through that way.
Okay, so this is the second question. Why do we want to emphasize in this specific time in which we have such social forces playing upon the students, you know, that they are going to require a degree that is going to be for the rest of their lives useful? So sometimes taking longer is not a bad idea. We have plenty of students that jump from one degree plan to another, from biology to engineering, from engineering to psychology. Only God knows. You know, so I don't see a significant issue associated with students, you know, taking longer. They need to find them themselves sometimes.
Well, and though I may agree with you, I think our provost would say that that's not an option, that this is how our university is being compared to other universities across the nation. So it's an important statistic.
But this is the conundrum.
Yeah.
Are we emphasizing the mass of the students, or are we emphasizing the individual? And this is not something that we can, as professors, can go and say, well, you as a mass are going to do this all together.
Yeah.
Each student has its own idiosyncrasies, its own individual capabilities, and its own individual difficulties.
And in talking to the provost, what I learned, and other committee members who are here, I don't see anybody, it may just be me today, jump in. But I think the thought was that individual programs may have they may have uniqueness that says it's going to take our students longer to get done, and they better be prepared to justify that. But for the vast majority, what are faculty members, what are departments doing to be creative in getting kids where they need to be? I mean, according to the statistics, other universities are doing a lot better job than we are in terms of four-year graduation rates. Now, we can all say this is Texas A&M, and we have a higher bar, or whatever the case is, but back in the olden days, degree plans were longer, and students, you know, were challenged to get done in 4 years. Now they're 120 hours. If they do 15 hours fall and spring, they can be done in 4 years without ever going in a summer. So I think we have a unique set of challenges because students come in not knowing.
Let me be the student advocate here. I require to have internships to get a job. I require to have probably a part-time job to get things done. You know, for me, I have a lot of students that are really taking during the summer almost 15 hours, and they come to me almost crying, telling me, Dr. Kamani, you leave too much homework. I say, well, what's going on? So I'm taking part-time job, I'm working in the restaurant, I have three classes to take during the summer. So, wait a minute now, you're giving me all this on top of it, and they're, well, you need to graduate in 4 years. That's not in our position to force them, or
right,
even to tell them. So let me just back off. It's 6 years. So 6 years is not bad. Let me, you know. Every student deserves to have the chance to get a degree that is going to be useful for the rest of his life. Let me waste one semester and not his life for the rest of his life, you know. So I do have an issue associated with forcing students to take this paradigm in which we have to go get them in 4 years. It's not in our turf to do this to the students. The opposite is to make sure that they are going to encounter the best knowledge with the best capacity for the social forces that are being played outside to get the best jobs. And if it requires 6 years, so be it.
Okay. Duly noted.
Duly noted.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, I agree on some.
Let me contradict myself here then.
Okay. I just want to add a couple things to the discussion. I'm not disagreeing with either. And if we were saying 100% of the students need to graduate in 4 years, I think we would all, including the provost, be opposed to that. Because there are a lot of students who can't do it for all sorts of reasons. And there are a number of students that can. The real push here is for those students who aren't making it out in 4 years because of other reasons, like They couldn't get into a class that's required for graduation. It was all full. No one could get them in. They have to wait another semester just to take the class. Or they're transferring from one curriculum to another, and their new department chose, you took this set of math courses. We really kind of want you to take this set of math courses. Do them over again. It's those kinds of things that we as departments and colleges can in some cases, not in all cases, in some cases readily fix if we thought about our curricula in that way, and the number would go up a couple of percent. We're not talking about everyone needs to do it. If we make it a 60%, we're saying 40% of the students don't need to do it. We're just trying to bump the number up a little and trying to catch the low-hanging barriers that are stopping them from being able to graduate when they might want to. The social imperative for it is that a lot of the students that are taking longer tend to also be some of the students from lower socioeconomic classes, and this is significantly adding to their debt. Every extra semester they're here is another semester of loans that they need to take out. So the point is to really reduce barriers, to advise them so they're taking courses in the right direction, in the right order, because sometimes they are going down one direction and they don't sort of realize, oh, if I took the courses in a different way, I could actually be done quicker. And so it's these kinds of barriers that we're really wanting to address, not the students who just can't get it in time because they've got way too many things on their plate. There's always going to be those students. There's always going to be room for those students. But the more we can do to sort of simplify it, I think the better we are. And of the schools that are doing better than us, most of them are really our peer aspirant institutions. I mean, if you look at four-year graduation rates, you know, at Berkeley and at UNC and places like that, they're doing better than we are. I mean, not dramatically. They're not at 90%. But, you know, where we're at 55, they might be at 65 or 70. And so we think we should be able to get to 60. That's the answer.
Yeah, the other side of the discussion centered around high-impact experiences, which is probably a buzzword you've heard. And that goes back to those internships and study abroad and all those really cool things that we want students to do. And the challenge has been, as a faculty member, how do we even count those things? We have students who do it, but we don't have a way of documenting it. So I know coming on board now are the zero credit hour activities that, you know, students can have transcripted. And so I'm excited about that. I hope it gives us a way to really document the high impact experiences that our kids are doing. But, you know, in talking to Dr. Watson, some of the colleges have a really high or relatively high four-year graduation rate. However, they have low experiences and high impact. So it's really a balance of how do you get students the kinds of experiences they need to be high-quality candidates for careers and jobs while getting them out in a timely manner. So it's a complex issue. One of the things we suggested is that there be some place where there would be an index that would help us put all that together, because right now you can look at those individually, but trying to look at time to degree, four-year graduation rate, and high impact, that's not all put together. It would be helpful, I think, to colleges to have an index score of how they're doing just so we can help get better. Any other comments or discussion?
John Quarles, College of Medicine. We've gone through this graduation rate several times in the past, and it's really impossible to come up with a good number that means anything. My son was an A&M graduate, and he took 5 years, and not because of grades, because I think he had one B the whole time, but he told me he wanted to broaden his educational horizons. I'm pretty sure the fact that his girlfriend, later to become his wife, was a year behind him had nothing to do with that. And I was just happy she wasn't 2 years behind him, or he would have broadened for another year probably. So, you know, so you have to, I don't know how you address this. We never figured it out in the past, but it's not just look at the numbers and see who's done when. So